I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus, Ohio. I had a chance recently to sit down with composer and conductor Stephen Caracciolo, who serves as artistic director of Lancaster Chorale here in Central Ohio. We talked about his concept for the program for Lancaster Chorale's Symphony of Voices performances this weekend, which involve choral transcriptions of orchestral works, choral works with rich symphonic-sounding textures, and choral arrangements of folk songs, including some by Caracciolo himself. You mentioned that you took the Lux Aeterna, which is John Cameron's choral transcription of the Nimrod variation from Elgar's Enigma Variations, kind of as a starting point for this program. It's originally secular music as well as instrumental music, but then in the form of the Lux Aeterna, setting the Lux Aeterna text, it serves potentially a much different function.
Yes, a very interesting observation that you take a piece of music that is untexted and has a one meaning or affect, if you will, you layer now text over that and it has a new meaning. You know, music, if you will, in this case, orchestral music without text has a meditative value, aesthetic to it. And as such, it could be more of a vague meditation, a meditation on what it is that the listener wants it to be at that moment. When you add text, that contact with the piece, that meditation, if you will, becomes a little bit more specific.
I find your use of the word meditative very interesting, particularly with regard to the Elgar, and also with regard to Barber's Agnus Dei, which is his choral transcription of his own adagio for strings and making use of the Agnus Dei text.
You know why I use the word meditative in this particular case? It's because these are pieces that are not, specifically the Lux Aeterna and the Agnus Dei, these are not pieces that are designed to be sung in public worship. If not public worship, then in a concert venue. And if in a concert venue, not part of a traditional liturgy, then it has a different, less of a specific liturgical meaning, but more than meditation.
In your role as a choral conductor, you've got a choral sound in your ear and maybe an idea or an ideal of what you would like your ensemble to sound like performing the music it sings. For this particular repertoire that began life as orchestral repertoire or became orchestral repertoire, at least before it was transcribed for voices, are you also hearing a sort of orchestral ideal, too?
What a great question. So for I Vow to Thee My Country, what I have done with that transcription, the one I have just completed a couple of months ago, is along with the texted melodies, also superimposed just a neutral vowel on top of it to mix it into the sound, mostly ah, I think it is. And the reason why I've done that is to kind of find that very smoothness of strings with vocalese to create even more of a legato in the singing of this piece. And so that I'm going to try that texture out and see how it works.
And since we're talking about your transcription of I Vow to Thee My Country, this is a transcription of the chorale from the middle part of the Jupiter movement of the Planets by Gustav Holst. And there's this lengthy tradition of that tune being used for hymns and so on and so forth. So it almost came as a surprise to me to find out that this is presumably, I guess, the first concert choral transcription of this tune. Is that correct?
I didn't find one. I did look for a while and then kind of gave up my search. And then I thought, I'll just do my own. I think there is one other by a composer. The name does not come to mind right away, and I couldn't get my hands on the score.
Some, but not all, of the music on this program with Lancaster Chorale is music in choral transcriptions that had originally, or at one point earlier, been orchestral music. You've also got Schumann's four songs for double choir and some other works on the program. How do these works originally for chorus sort of hold hands, if you will, with the Symphony of Voices idea?
Thank you for asking that question. These four choral songs by Schumann are not sung very often, particularly in central Ohio, as a complete set of four. So it'll be Leicester Chorale's pleasure to bring this to central Ohio. The way that they match the set that comes before is, first of all, when you have double choir music, the composer avails himself of this wider texture, sonorous texture of singing. And then you can have more of a conversation between choir one and choir two, which then kind of leads the composer to thinking, well, how can I layer sound on top of each other? And very much from my hearing in these four pieces, not all double choir music, but certainly for these four pieces, almost in a symphonic way, particularly Talismana, the last one, where you think of a Beethoven who will take two or three or four motives and just play with those motives for the next 4, 5, 6 minutes. And that seems to be what Schumann is doing in Talismana. Besides that, in this, in the second movement, Un gewisses Licht, you also have these powerful, turbulent walls of sound, very much like you would have in kind of a symphonic piece. You have this counterpoint of choir, matching choir, of higher voices answering lower voices, almost like strings versus woodwinds, that kind of thing. And also in the third movement, Zuversicht, which means confidence, gosh, about the last fourth of that movement, that short movement, which lasts for nearly a minute or 45 seconds, is playing with the same text over and over again. Again, very much like the way a symphonic composer would take some motives and just play them out harmonically, stretch them, pull them. And so in that particular way, these four pieces, in my mind and in my ear, have very much a symphonic kind of color.
Also on your Symphony of Voices program is your arrangement of the traditional American song, The Wayfaring Stranger. If you don't mind, could you talk a little bit about your arrangement?
Sure. Gosh, you know, I'm just now making a connection with the program. And I always knew this, but until you just asked me this question, I guess I just now realized that Ray Vaughan Williams is on this program and in this arrangement that I made really very much in the style of Ray Vaughan Williams. And I just now made that connection that the two of them are now on the same program. When you consider what Vaughan Williams did in Britain in promulgating folk tunes, I'd like to do the same thing from time to time in my own writing. And here is The Wayfaring Stranger, very much written in kind of a Shaw Parker, very clean lines. And there's a page where I tell people this is right out of Vaughan Williams. It's the transition right before the final stanza. And I very much appreciated that in Vaughan Williams' writing. Just very clean, like not a note out of place. And this is a strophic setting. Each strophe tends to have a slightly different character to it.
Very intriguing that you just now made the realization that your arrangement of The Wayfaring Stranger is sort of in the style of Vaughan Williams. And also that you said that you kind of wanted to do the same thing that Vaughan Williams did as far as folk music is concerned, and kind of make sure that American folk music is carried forward into future generations through your music. Is this sort of a concerted project in your mind to do this?
I think so. Gosh, you know, I think in an era where some choral conductors are not doing as many folk tunes, I'm thinking back to the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, and the 70s, and I guess the 80s, where folk music, where folk arrangements, arrangements of folk tunes for choirs, you know, we think of the radio choirs, we think of Robert Shaw, was the bread and butter, practically, of what they would do. Almost every program had spirituals or folk songs on them. And in the present age, I'm not sure that's quite the same. I'm not sure choral can... And that's fine. There's room for... There's so much music out there, Lord Almighty, that it all needs to be heard. But in that sense, I'm a little old-fashioned, just because I grew up on these arrangements, and I want to make sure that the public that I serve still continues to hear these amazing, case in point, I've had a rehearsal with Lancaster Chorale in preparation for our last program in Dulce Jubilo, where we are doing Wassail Song by Ray Fun Williams. For me, that's a standard, and I asked in the rehearsal how many people have sung this arrangement, and almost nobody had sung it. And I actually kind of, I delighted in that. I think, okay, well, that's why an organization like Lancaster Chorale is here, to make sure that this music is heard.
Stephen Caracciolo is Artistic Director of Lancaster Chorale. I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus, Ohio.